Welcome to the Popcorn Talk Network, for the online broadcast network that features movie discussion, news, and interviews. Press one.
Popcorn Talk. We talk movies.
From the Popcorn Talk Network, the online broadcast network for movie talk, and the schmoes know, this is Guilty Movie Pleasures. In-depth discussion on movies, no matter how guilty they make you feel.
Oh, what is up, Guilty Movie Pleasure fans? We are back for another week of Guilty Movie Pleasures. Sadly, this is the first time without my host and the leader who brought me into this and who started this whole thing, Josh McCuga. So we're going to have a moment of silence for Josh right now. That was enough, right? Yeah. He's not dead, by the way. He's actually alive and well.
We hope.
I haven't checked in with him today.
Double so check.
I'll text him.
Text or tweet him.
Text or tweet at him. Make sure he's alive.
Insta.
He did karaoke and drink a lot on Sunday night for his birthday. He does a mean Panama,
That's been the end of many good men, by the way.
Singing Panama at karaoke. But I'm Ben Begley. I will be your host from now on. And my guest today is a good friend of mine. Give it up for Jesse McIntosh over here.
We're decent friends. We're okay friends.
Yeah, you know.
4 out of 10. But depending on what time of the year.
Yeah. It's like if it's a leap year.
It's a rotating scale.
We have an added day of friendship, hopefully.
Yeah. Always in my heart, 10 out of 10. But, yeah. You know.
In your heart, 10 out of 10. But in reality, 4 out of 10.
In reality, things are different in real life. That's what I've learned as an adult.
Can't be. So, Jesse, just so everybody here knows a little bit about our backstory. We met at a casting workshop, I believe.
A casting workshop, like 10 years ago. A long time ago.
Really long time ago. Mm-hmm. We were doing one of those things where if you don't live in LA and you're not an actor, they kind of...
Then what is wrong with you? What are you doing with your lives?
You're probably doing something a little bit more...
sustainable,
less stressful, pays more. Yeah, but we met at this thing where you basically pay a casting director to tell you why they're not bringing you in. And yeah, we've been friends since. We've done sketches. We used to have a sketch group called Dingus Khan.
Dingus Khan. It's on the internet. Yeah. If you have the internet, check it out.
He wrote a killer rap called Dirty Christmas Rap, a.k.a. What Child Is This? Because It Ain't Fucking Mine.
First curse word of the day.
Yeah. We're allowed to cuss on here. I know, but I'm keeping track. Oh, yeah. Just tally it up.
Yeah. That's
so
one.
Jesse, what have you been up to? What's going on with
you?
Tell them a little bit about yourself.
Cool, yeah. I've been doing stand-up very recently. If you're in the area, I've been doing stand-up at Flappers in Burbank. Got a show coming up on the 16th of February, 9:30 p.m. So after dinner time, you can come after dinner.
After dinner, nice dinner. Maybe watch some Netflix.
Netflix and chill. That's what people are doing nowadays.
If they Netflix and chill, then they're not coming out.
They're quick at the chilling part.
Unless you do Netflix and chill like I do, which literally means just watch 10 episodes of Daredevil. Which officially means I'm not coming out, because I just finished Daredevil, by the way, and it was amazing. But I'm getting off topic.
We're off topic.
Super off topic.
We're off topic.
Today, we are here to talk The Rundown.
There it is.
Yes. This is by far one of my favorite movies The Rock is in. You're laughing like it's an odd scale.
It's just a funny qualifier. It's one of my favorite movies that Sean William Scott has ever done in his whole career.
It is actually one of my favorite Sean William Scott movies because he annoys me the least in this movie.
Okay, yeah, that's fair.
Although Southland Tales, that's another one they teamed up with in Southland Tales.
I'm unfamiliar.
Which it's a movie that makes no sense.
Sweet.
And one of the actors in the behind the scenes actually said that when their agent read the script, they cried and they called him up because they were moved emotionally, but because they felt so dumb after reading it. They didn't understand.
They got dumber reading a script, which is what reading does to you.
But the rundown here.
Yes.
This movie, for me, I want to know when you first saw it, which was last night, I believe, but I first saw it in 2003 when it came out, and I remember The Rock had been in The Scorpion King, which I didn't see because I thought it looked ridiculous, because The Mummy 2 was silly when they had a CGI version of The Rock, and this was when he was still known as The Rock, not Dwayne Johnson. He was a wrestler, so people hadn't really taken him super seriously yet. And then you see the rundown, and you see that he has charisma, he's funny, he's a badass, he does almost all his own stunts, and then I think it's his cousin.
Yeah, I read that. His cousin, like, won all sorts of awards for doing the stunts in the
film. So, like, he does, like, the super dangerous stuff, but The Rock does the still more dangerous than I will ever do in a movie stuff. Like, all the stuff, even though the stunts get ridiculous in this movie and almost Looney Tunes style.
I don't know why you would say that.
We'll get to that. You can tell it's really him being flung around. And for me, I remember being like, this guy is going to be awesome.
Yeah.
And he had a quality, it felt like a 90s action movie, but with the 2000 sensibilities of better acting, better choreography, and just it just felt like a fun buddy action comedy.
Cool.
What do you think?
So wait, just a couple things. Yes. I want to piggyback just for a moment. Let me also say, when Ben asked me to do this, he said, "Do you want to come on?" And I thought it was going to be him and Josh, and I would have a cushy third mic where I could just just jump in at any point and be like, and just now, once every 10 minutes.
Now you're completely on like, the spot hey, for 45 minutes.
Hey, The Rock, am I right? But now first show after Josh left, so yeah,
no pressure.
No pressure there.
No, it's all on me.
Okay,
they'll like you. They'll be like, Ben, You didn't carry the torch. You
gonna,
fucked it up.
They're going to say something about my haircut. I know it. But so,
hashtag Jesse's haircut.
Hashtag Jesse's haircut.
Yeah.
If we can get that trending anywhere, even locally,
yeah,
that would be
just
great.
Just even in the Burbank area.
Just, yeah.
It's fine.
Any zip code would be good. So The Rock. So yeah. I first saw this movie last night, as you said.
Yeah.
So I have a lot of context with The Rock already.
Yeah. Oh, and totally.
So let me just say first, he hadn't even transitioned to Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
No, he was still The Rock.
He was just The Rock.
It legit says The Rock.
The Rock.
They didn't even alter it for future reference.
I mean, and that's how that character should be built. Like, that's how that actor should be built
in this movie.
He should not have a name. He should just go by The Rock.
Yes.
So,
because he's basically a boulder. He's invincible.
Basically. But with that being said, this is The Rock about 100 pounds of muscle earlier than he is now. Like, this was a svelte-looking Rock.
It's great. He still looks huge in this movie.
He looks huge.
But when you see him in, like, Fast 7, you're like,
Pain and Gain. Are you kidding
me? Oh,
my
God. Yeah, it's like New Rock ate the old Rock.
Yep.
And then grew twice as big. Like, he consumed the old version of him.
That's just science. That's how science works.
That's how science works.
If you eat the old you.
If you go back, if any of us learn how to time travel like The Rock has,
yeah,
we should do what he did.
Which he
consume
has.
Our old self,
uh-huh,
and we'll become twice the size.
And just process.
I'm pretty sure that's how time travel works.
That's, I mean, that is the number one goal of time travel.
You close the loop by eating yourself.
That's, I don't know what else I can add to that.
I feel like my brain just oozed out my ear thinking about that.
That's what time travel you would
it's
do.
The same,
eat
it's the same
brain.
Logic as a lot of the Bill and Ted time travel, though,
mm-hmm,
so it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay. Most time travel movies have no logic. But what was your take on this, though, since you'd never seen it, and you have all this, like, now we've seen The Rock in movies like Faster, which is basically him just shooting dudes in the head the whole movie. We've seen him as Roadblock in G.I. Joe Retaliation, where he's just a badass.
Yeah.
We've seen him in the Fast and Furious franchise, where he's basically a one-liner machine where daddy's got to go to work. Like, Fast 7, every line he has is a 90s one-liner in that movie.
Yeah.
And when he rips off the gun from the helicopter, the Gatling gun, and he's just unloading on it's just, so now you have all this kind of,
I have a library of
the
Rock
library
knowledge.
Of The Rock
yeah.
knowledge.
The,
what do you
the
think?
The HBO show that he did about football.
Ballers? I haven't
Ballers,
seen that.
Ballers? That's the name of it.
The beginning of this movie feels like the preview
that's
for
what,
Ballers.
That, yeah, so that
like
was
the,
my,
like the producers of Ballers were like, hey, remember The Rock, the rundown when he like did a rundown on all the players?
When he could identify all
good.
The offensive linemen. Like, I'm a football fan, and I couldn't pick out a single offensive lineman in the entire NFL. And he's just, like, pointing them out and, like, giving their stats.
Were any
and,
of like, those actual, because I know one of them, it was an actor, the guy with the really deep voice I've actually worked with before. But I don't know.
I don't know if any of them were actual football players. Like,
just
the actors.
Yeah.
None of the character names were real people.
That's how little I know about football, is that for me, they could have made up team names, and I would have been like, oh, yeah.
Well, they kind of did.
The Philadelphia Dolphin Burgers,
Dolphin Burgers.
That was a real
very controversial.
Very controversial.
Very controversial.
It wasn't controversial till The Cove came out and they realized where Dolphin Burgers came from, and then they were like,
and then nope.
Oh man, anytime you bring up The Cove, you know that joke went south.
Jesus. I feel like we peaked at Dolphin Burgers.
And then I just had to.
And then you were like, let's explore the Dolphin Burger concept.
Let's go explore down the massacre of one of the cutest animals on the planet. Let's just really dive deep.
Do you like ketchup on your dolphins? Or are you a Dijon fan? Like, how do you condiment?
I wish it was condomizing.
Oh boy.
So the rundown. So
yeah.
Now, what's your take on it?
So it was super fun.
Yeah?
It was super fun.
Because I felt like I was nervous watching it last night because I knew you were watching at the same time. And my wife, Renee, was watching it too. And she was enjoying it, but kind of every once in a while checking Pinterest.
Sure.
So I was like, oh, shit, I hope Jesse doesn't hate this movie.
I was checking the rundown Pinterest during it. I just wanted
it was a great page.
I just wanted to double check.
It's been created by Peter Berg.
Yeah.
It's entirely by him.
Yeah. So it was super fun. I like... I sent you a list of potential guilty movie pleasure films.
That's another thing. I asked Jesse what he wants to talk about. He sent me like 10, and I was like, what about The Rundown?
And it's like, yeah, let's
so
do that.
I
that's perfect.
Shot down.
No, but so the point of me saying that is I feel like my subset of guilty movie pleasures is a little bit in a different vein necessarily than yours is. So I'm coming at it from
what's
a little bit of a different
subset,
perspective.
Would you say?
Well, so I suggested 8 Mile.
Mm-hmm.
I suggested,
which I would argue is a good movie.
Good movie, right? I feel that way too. But I feel like over time, a lot of people look back at it and be like, "Hey, remember 8 Mile?"
Yeah.
But I've seen it maybe 5 too many times for like
you've seen it 6 times.
Yeah,
I've only seen it once or twice.
I saw it in the theater, and coming out of the theater, there was like a mom with her 5-year-old, and she was like, "I fucking hated that movie." It's like, well, because you brought your 5-year-old to
8 Mile to a movie where there's a super awkward sex scene in like a factory of some sort.
A super cool sex scene.
I always find it so funny how sex scenes play out in movies.
They're the best. No one ever has sex like they do in movies.
How is not every character pregnant? And how is it's like the most passionate 10 seconds of their lives.
Yeah,
this is a
and
side
just
tangent.
Like just like super smoothly taking clothes off.
Yep,
like no one has ever derobed in that fashion in the history of the world. But so okay,
yeah.
So 8 Mile, any of the Step Up movies, which I feel like could qualify. Quality
I'm sorry,
dance
that
films.
That surprised me so much. That's why I laughed so hard.
Strong.
I've never seen any of them, but
well,
I'm sure they're.
I mean, you're wrong.
I am wrong for not saying
you've
any
made
of
poor choices.
What's your favorite
your
Step
life?
Up movie?
Step Up to the Streets, for sure. Step Up 3D was, I saw it in 3D, and they're like, it didn't work.
Yeah.
The 3D didn't work.
Come on.
I know. It's dancing. Just enjoy the dancing. You know what I mean?
So now that you have your context of seemingly rap movies and dance movies.
And dance movies. A lot of competition.
You like Drumline a lot?
Big fan. Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves was my other like.
I know. I wanted to do that one. We should have done
another
that.
Time.
Next,
another time.
So,
but
now,
so
in the context
yeah.
Of this.
So this, I do really enjoy this kind of movie, and I just like for one reason or another, don't typically prioritize it in my guilty movie viewing.
Mm-hmm.
But I do really like the cheese element doesn't bother me when there's like crazy fighting going on.
Oh yeah,
I love the like.
The gravity-defying stunts that are clearly wire work.
The physics-defining stunts, not just gravity, but like twisting mid-air in directions where like
flip him up and he does a flip, doesn't ever brace the ground and somehow kicks the two of them from behind. And it's like, how did you get that much momentum going?
Yeah.
It's impossible.
I mean, from his hips.
He's got, you know, he's got rock-sized hips.
As Shakira once told me, hips don't lie.
Hips don't lie.
Hips don't lie.
But they can flip midair and kick two dudes in the face.
That's the truth.
So none of it, like, the things that didn't age well for me when I watched it, which we should get into the plot, though, first. But, like, the monkey humping scene and things like that. But, like, could you forgive that stuff
For
watching
I could
it?
Forgive most anything. Even though, like, we'll get into a lot of the, like, plot holes. But, like, this kind of movie doesn't care about plot holes.
It's just
not.
Ridiculous.
It doesn't matter.
It's like Indiana Jones meets a buddy cop comedy from the 80s on steroids.
Yeah.
Is like, what this movie feels
like. Clearly the point of this movie was to show off our choreography in the fights and like our witty like one-liner, like the quick quips of Sean William
and
Scott.
And just to punch Sean William Scott in the face
over
many
and over.
Times.
He even says it in the movie, like, why are you punching me all the time? Yeah. Stop pushing me.
It's because he did 3 Stifler movies and America wanted it. And when, you know, I like Sean William Scott and I think, but he had it coming after 3 Stifler movies.
He had it coming, probably something he did in his personal life.
Yeah, you know.
I have no idea.
It's karma. It's karma.
Because we all make mistakes.
So now we're going to do the plot in under 3 minutes, Jesse and I. I'll have you start it off, and then you'll ping-pong it back to me, and we'll keep going back and forth.
I'll do my very best.
Usually it ends with, when Makuga was here, the last 30 seconds, his mind explodes. So we'll see if we can get to the end before 30 seconds of mind melt, but let's see what happens. And we'll do it in 5, 4, 3, 2, take it away.
So The Rock shows up at a club, and he's sort of ushered in by this guy who we never see again, who, like, shows us all the people that he's has to watch out for. And he's like, you got to get to that quarterback down there. And he's like, all right, no problem. So he goes
50
down.
Large.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, you owe me large amounts of money, large sums of money. I need the cash right now. So he goes down. He's like, I'll give you 2 choices. A, you can give it to me. B, I can take it from you, which we get over and over and over again.
Yeah, like
but
5
so,
times. It's
so awesome. They always take option B, and he always just rips
wrong
ass
choice.
After that.
Always
yeah,
says wrong
always
choice.
Wrong choice, because it always is. So he takes the money. I'm the best. And then he gets it stolen from him. And we never hear of that again.
From another bounty hunter that shoots beanbags. Somehow The Rock is taken out by, like, crowd control guns.
Yeah.
And then he goes and he meets his boss guy, who's loosely established, but we don't know how dangerous he is. Is he, like, a killer? He's sort of a mob guy. He's and we find out that The Rock wants to be a chef. He wants to have his own restaurant. So he's like, I'm out. Tony or whatever his name is, and he's like, I want to start my own restaurant. He goes, one more job. You got to go get my son in the jungle. I'll give you 250 large. So The Rock then cut to him. Beautiful. It looks like he's flying to Jurassic Park with this guy who speaks in a Northern Irish accent that you cannot understand for the entire movie.
Never understood a single word that he said.
I have no clue.
I know that there were cows.
I rewound several of his lines and then just gave up.
Didn't do that.
And
I gave up right away.
So then they land. He gets there. He ends up finding him at this bar where...
Wait. So we meet Christopher Walken first.
We meet Christopher Walken. World's largest mine ever.
Or it's like the Grand Canyon of mines.
Yes.
And so he's just basically, that scene is like Christopher Walken being like, I'm a bad guy. And so then he sends him to find Sean William Scott.
Yeah.
And he does. He finds him in the bar, and then Christopher Walken shows up.
Oh, Rosario
up
Dawson's in there with the world's weakest accent, even though she's still great.
I love Rosario Dawson.
The accent's
Dawson.
Very, like,
doesn't
just
matter.
Uncertain vowels.
Unimportant.
Yeah.
So Christopher Walken shows up with his goon squad.
There's been a change of narrative, so to speak. Something like that. And you think he's going to get out, and then the craziest fight scene happens immediately. He has the guy by the mouth with a gun. Mm-hmm. He beats the shit out of everybody. They escape. Then Sean William Scott and him are driving, and Sean William Scott gets the brilliant idea of saying, hope you like the fall, veers the car off. Longest fall in the history since Hot Rod.
They both die, probably.
Seven times.
Not even scratched.
And then, yeah, the car misses them. Then they're through the jungle. They end up meeting these natives, the tribe there. I forget. They call them Oompa Loompas, which is a little offensive.
The little pygmies,
both a little offensive.
They rattle through a bunch of offensive
seconds.
Holy cow.
They have
cow.
The biggest fight scene ever where there's all these little dudes and then they're like attacking
Monkey's trying to
hug
him
space.
First. And then they go, they have Rosario Dawson now because she's part of them, and they go and they just randomly like happen upon where the Gatto
they
is.
They find the Gatto. They're looking for the Gatto. Yeah. We forgot to say that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so they find the Gatto. They escape. All these boulders fall. Rosario Dawson drugs them. The monkeys come back and then he's like, I want to get out of here. And then we find out Rosario Dawson gets kidnapped by Christopher Walken. There's a big showdown. You're like, how are they going to figure this out? Because all the pygmies got killed. And then they bring in all these bulls. There's a huge stampede. The Rock,
the Rock finally uses his gun,
shoots all of them. Then the villagers come back, shoot Christopher Walken. I'm done now.
They make it back and he poisons the mob boss.
And then, yeah, it's done.
No.
Mob boss.
Whew.
Yeah. Man. It's weird, because you want to be so... Well, this always happens. You want to be so detailed in the beginning,
uh-huh.
And then you're like, I spent a minute on the opening scene.
I need a Gatorade.
I need
it. Product placement. Does Gatorade sponsor this podcast?
Oh, my God.
I need a Gatorade.
So we actually covered most of it until the last, like, 15 minutes, and it went off the rails. But, you know...
We did the first half of the movie in 2.5 minutes.
Yeah,
and
we got really in-depth with it.
Yeah.
So let's start off with the beginning. It's... I love the setup... Of this, like how you said, they bring in this guy who you think is an informant that they never bring back again.
He just knows everything.
He's no name.
I'm at the club and I'm clearly a snitch.
Yeah.
And like, people don't give a shit. Like,
yeah.
I'm just here and those are the guys you need to look
out
for.
And this football player owes $50,000 to this gang boss, this mob boss of some sort.
Yep.
And he really insults The Rock by throwing not just one, but like three drinks in his face.
Yeah. Just one by one.
And you think he's gonna just... go, okay, never mind. And I love the subverting of expectations there where, I mean, you expect this, but I like the twist where he goes in the bathroom and he calls his boss and he's like, you gotta get it now. And he's like, but the whole offensive line is out there. He's like, and you think he's like, I don't want to have, it's like, it's going to be tough. And instead he's like, I don't want to hurt them.
I don't want to, yeah.
It's so good. Yeah. That line is so great because it just sets up how badass he is. Where you think it's like, shit, how am I going to take out all these guys? But he's like, I don't want to hurt them. He's concerned about hurting all his favorite players.
Well, and
basically.
So here's the other thing, and I don't know, it doesn't necessarily hold up. It doesn't really matter. It doesn't necessarily hold up now. I don't know what it was back in 2003, but if there are five NFL players in the club, it's not the offensive linemen that are going to like do your bidding for you. It's like your posse that's 50 deep jacked cousins who are like maybe supplying you HGH.
It's very weird that like all the offensive linemen are like, hey, we're sort of this skinny dude, the skinny quarterback or whatever, his bodyguard. And you're
like we protect him on and off the field.
It's like, and weren't they all from different teams too?
Yeah, they're all from different colleges, like, and they all just happen to be there. They're just buds.
They're just banging.
They're
out.
Just like, we'll kick ass for no reason.
Yep.
Doesn't matter.
And, you know, who gives a shit if my knee gets broken? That won't screw up my career. I feel like in the reality, they'd be like, oh, fuck it. See ya.
Kinda.
See ya.
Yeah. Also, like, with now with cell phones and, like, just people getting everything on videotape all the time, like, star quarterback throwing drinks at some dude just one after the other, and then a brawl. Like, no one recovers from that.
No.
Like, that is avoided at all costs.
Yeah, the NFL only recovers if they abuse women.
If they abuse women, not men.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Mm. That's a little dig on the NFL.
And so that's the end of our show, guys.
Yes. No, but a good buddy of mine, actually, he did a great sketch about how the NFL just breezes over that. His name's Brad Gage. You can look it up on YouTube. I'll tweet out a link to it. It's really funny.
Nice.
But it handles that in a real, like, way where you're like, oh, shit, yeah, they cover up so much. But anyways, that's a different topic.
So, but anyway, so that was
we get on a soapbox about the corruption in the NFL.
I bring a lot of propaganda to the
behavior.
Podcast.
Yeah.
By the way, we have a lot of issues we have to discuss.
By the way,
global warming.
Who wants to talk about Iowa?
Yeah.
So he beats the shit out of these dudes in the bar.
Yeah.
Which this fight scene is really cool, but it also falls into that trap of strobe light. My eyeballs can't see what the hell's going on for half of it.
And you're supposed to sort of believe that, like, the strobe lights are making it so no one else in the club is like,
is there a brawl going on?
Instead, it just makes the audience go, is there a brawl going on?
Or are they just dancing? Are they like freak
just
dancing?
Super freak dancing.
They're just into it.
And then I love, so that moment is awesome. And then when they go to the island, we talked about the Irish guy who's like, could not understand a word he was saying. He's like, oh, we gotta do the island. And I'm like,
literally, and I didn't even know it was an Irish accent because that's how unintelligible it was.
I think he's Scottish. I mean, I've seen him in other stuff.
He was in the kilt.
Yeah. He was in Trainspotting, but I think I read on the trivia that he's actually Scottish, but he did a Northern Irish accent, or maybe he's Northern Irish and did a Scottish.
Nice.
Either way.
Showing off his flexibility.
Either way, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
I can't understand what he's saying.
It didn't matter, because
nope.
He was one of my favorite characters.
Yep. And then Christopher Walken, I can't remember if we have a clip from, so Christopher Walken comes in, and he's basically like this total bastard who's making all these people be his basically slaves in the gold mines.
Yeah.
In the largest gold mines in history.
Yeah.
They go down for like 3 miles deep.
And like I think I said it in the summary, but like literally that scene is just him being like hold on.
Oh, yeah, let's see who can do a worse
right,
Christopher
you
Walken.
You go first, because you did
he's
it already.
Kind of like a bad guy, but humorous.
That was like Borat a little bit.
All right, Zach. All right. You try. Come on.
Zach has opinions.
It's weird because it's the most distinctive impression, but I cannot do it.
I can. Okay, so I was telling you I do Jay Moore doing Christopher Walken.
Hit me with it.
Like, I'm a bad guy and I dance. That was a weird one.
Yours
at the
gets
end.
Really British.
Yeah.
And I dance. Suddenly.
Drop a beat.
You start. then it gets more German, like you're some kind of techno DJ.
I think the key is just to go.
Let's see what he really sounds like when he says, he comes in and he goes, it arouses curiosity.
This clip is actually me doing a voiceover of Christopher Walken.
Yeah, it's
so
his
let's
voice match. So clip S arouses.
It arouses the curiosity.
It arouses the curiosity.
It arouses. No.
More just terrible.
Yeah.
But, so he comes in. There's this whole big standoff between him and The Rock.
Yes.
And
don't reach into a man's refrigerator.
Don't reach into a man's refrigerator.
That's a lesson I learned.
Yeah. And The Rock is like, you know, we're going to get out of here. And there's the dude with the whip.
Mm-hmm.
There's the dude with the dickhead. We'll do that in a second. But so then they're squaring off, and he's like, I'm taking him out of here. And then Sean William Scott and one of the bad guys has the most mature verbal battle I've ever heard, which is dickhead. Please play that.
Okay, so let's go, dickhead. Don't call me a dickhead, you dickhead. Did you find it or not, asshole?
What's that, asshole?
Hey, did you find it or not, asshole?
What's that, asshole?
Did you find it or not, asshole?
Come on, let's go.
Hey, don't rock the boat.
I'm pretty sure.
Hey,
don't
rock the boat.
I'm pretty sure a similar thing happened on the playground in grade school when I was growing up. You know, it's just like two kids were like, "What's that asshole?" And then the principal just came out and was like, "Hey, don't rock the boat."
Hey, don't rock
that
the boat.
That sounds like,
hey, don't rock the boat.
Yeah.
Here we go. Yeah. You know.
He also had like a couple weird like water analogies of like.
Lots of weird water analogies.
Yeah. But so it reminded me of like, grade school, but also like people who, it sounded like he was improvising and just couldn't come up with a topper.
Yeah.
He was like, you're an asshole. No, you're an asshole.
Or call me a dickhead, you dickhead.
Or like Commando when it's like, fuck you, asshole. Fuck you, asshole. Like that's how they respond. Maybe there was an homage to that,
strong,
you know?
Strong response.
Yeah.
Strong
yeah.
response.
You know, there was a guy I knew who was named Richard
mm-hmm.
Head.
Mm-hmm.
His last name was Richard Head and he went by Dick. And it wasn't until later in life that we realized his name was Dickhead. And so we started calling him Dickhead.
Yeah.
And he got got really upset about it, mm-hmm. and he just finally stood up and was like, "Hey,
don't call me a dickhead, you dickhead."
That was a terrible one. So bad.
Well, you know, it's funny you should say that.
I bailed on that.
It's funny you should say that because it reminds me of like every morning when I have conversations with my body parts,
uh-huh.
and I give them voices, and so literally I'll just come out of the shower and I'll look down and I'll be like,
"Don't call me a dickhead, you dickhead,"
because you're talking to your dickhead.
Because I'm talking to my dickhead.
Yeah, you know, actually, I believe that the "Don't rock the boat" thing. I believe that you know, I'm trying to think of an improv game with "Don't rock the boat."
Oh, so like yeah, I was at Disney World, uh-huh. and there was you know, the one where you're in
Small World. It's a Small World.
It's a Small World. Yeah. And some like asshole teenager was going through and shaking all the like little compartments that we were standing in. And I looked at him, and I was with my wife, and I looked at him, and I was like,
"Hey, don't rock the boat."
And the kid, you know, if you said it with the Christopher Walken like intensity,
yeah, yeah, he stopped as soon as I said, "Hey,
hey. Don't rock the boat."
Yeah.
I like that one.
Yeah.
I like that. I actually have been through It's a Small World where we were assholes and we try and speed up the boat to mm-hmm. slam into the other people.
It was like bumper boat, small world.
Yeah.
Combo.
And then we decided it would be funny to pretend we were asleep when we came out of it because it's the most longest and boring ride on the planet.
Yeah.
And all the people in line were laughing. It was a good time.
Good times.
It was probably the highlight of my life.
Hey,
don't rock the boat.
This was the highlight of my life, hearing that story.
Exactly.
It doesn't get
better than that.
No.
So one of my favorite monologues that we were talking about weird analogies that Christopher Walken does. He has a Tooth Fairy monologue where he's talking to his underlings, and he's trying to explain to them. He doesn't speak English. Or he doesn't speak their language, Portuguese, but he's trying to have his buddy, his underling translated.
Doesn't really speak Portuguese. No, he's a terrible translator.
But he gives him this Tooth Fairy analogy after Sean William Scott and The Rock escape and they're after El Gato. And this is his analogy, and it's awesome, the Tooth Fairy.
There are two men in that jungle who are trying to steal from me. I feel like a little boy who's lost his first tooth, put it under his pillow waiting for the Tooth Fairy to come. Only two evil burglars have crept in my window and snatched it before she could get here.
Ha fatto dos.
Wait a second. Do you understand the concept of the Tooth Fairy?
It's so good.
It's so great that he like starts to translate it, and then he's like, "Wait, hold on."
Do you understand?
The concept of the Tooth Fairy.
You know, it's actually interesting. The first time I ever stopped believing in Santa and all that stuff uh-huh. was because the Tooth Fairy was what unraveled it. And I had slipped my tooth under the pillow and I was asleep and I woke up and my dad was reaching under the pillow to switch the tooth out for a 50 cent piece, which I was got a 50 cent piece and all my friends got like $5. I was like, why is the Tooth Fairy cheap for me?
Inflation.
But I remember I woke up and I looked at my dad and I felt so betrayed at age 10. No, I don't know when I was. Maybe 8. Mm-hmm. I just looked at him and I screamed.
Do you understand the concept of the Tooth Fairy?
Because the thing I was most mad about is not just that he wasn't the Tooth Fairy, but he didn't even try to, like, dress up like the Tooth Fairy. There was no mystique.
That's terrible.
It was just my dad in his PJs. Oh, his white V-neck.
So he was on his way to bed. He wasn't even, like,
flannel pajamas.
In business casual.
Yep. So fun.
Just ready for bed.
Yeah, just ready for bed.
That's crazy because I was at a convention,
mm-hmm.
Fantasy convention,
yeah.
You can say, like, of just people that we want to believe exist. And I dressed up as the Tooth Fairy,
mm-hmm.
and there was this big brawl, kind of like at the club,
yeah.
And someone's
those happen at fantasy conventions,
yeah,
a lot.
They do. There's a lot of conflict, and someone's tooth got knocked out. And I went, and he was, like, gonna go to the dentist and put it back in.
Why?
But I went, and I swiped the tooth, and I gave him $1. And he looked at me like I was crazy, and I looked at him, and I was all...
Wait for
it. Do you understand the concept of the Tooth Fairy?
You still have that tooth. You carry it around in your wallet
like a lucky tooth. It's the only thing I have in my wallet.
Yeah.
I don't carry cash or credit cards or driver's license.
Just that tooth.
Just the tooth.
That is all you need.
That's...
So they escape from that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to top that because there's no topping that. That was awesome. But they escape that. Sean William Scott veers the car off the road like we talked about. They fall down the hill in what is The longest fall, the only falls that rival this in cinema history are Hot Rod, where it's comedically long for the, and this is obviously comedically long, but this is also kind of a precursor to the fall in Lone Survivor that Peter Berg also directed.
Yeah, good call.
It's almost the same, when I watched this, I was like, this is the same thing, only instead they're going like, whoa, and like goofy hits, whereas Lone Survivor, each hit, a bone breaks. So
well,
it was actually
thing.
Kind of unnerving watching it this time with the knowledge of what he did with Lone Survivor. So I'm like, I'm watching it in too realistic of a setting, and then I'm shaking myself out of it going, it's a movie with The Rock and Sean William Scott.
Well, so that's the thing, is that Lone Survivor does it in a way that, like, that's what would happen to you if you fell down that hill.
It's brutal.
Whereas, like, they're driving, and Sean William Scott makes the conscious decision.
His main plan is to be like, well, this is how I get
away.
Fling a car that's going 50 miles an hour off a cliff.
It's the first time in the movie someone chose option A. And it was his option A. He was like, option A, I run this car off the side of the mountain.
Option B,
we keep driving it's cool.
Anything smarter than that.
Anything that an intelligible person would do.
Yes.
So he drives the car, as we stated, his plan, drives the car off the cliff. And they immediately jump out of the car and just start rolling, not like pencil rolling,
no,
like head over feet rolling down a mountain.
Crash into several trees.
Trees, rocks, just like back of the neck.
Yep.
Just every possible way you could imagine
dying. For a solid minute. They would have died seven times.
Yes.
Maybe more.
Maybe more.
They fall off a waterfall into a little riverbed or whatever. And then the car comes, and from the way it's shot, it looks like the car lands on top of them.
Because they don't move. They just look look up, and they're like, oh no!
It's almost like they treat the violence in this movie in such a weird juxtaposition where sometimes... sometimes it's super violent and gritty, like people getting shot, and other times it's like Home Alone, where it's like the burglars in Home Alone, and that car would have killed them.
Yeah.
And then they just somehow, they do the like gasping out of the water, like, oh, whew, thank goodness I went down so deep that this car that weighs, you know, a ton just fell and didn't hit the bottom of the riverbed.
It landed on them, but there was enough cushion
from
the water to really like
it's like
make
a Jurassic Park
okay.
when it lands, and they landed in the little cage of it.
Right,
you know?
Right. So it's funny that you said, or I should mention, because I was telling you this earlier, like, it sort of felt like there was a dueling vibe going on between, like, a Rock movie and a Sean William Scott movie.
Yeah.
And the Rock movie is the, like, slow motion, physics defying.
When he double barrel cocks two shotguns.
Yeah.
He's like, and he's cocking him in the end with his...
With his
biceps?
Body,
he cocks shotguns with his biceps, flips him. If you haven't seen this movie, go see it just for that. The Rock flips him underneath, cocks the shotguns with his own biceps, flips him back, and blasts dudes.
Or the time when he jumps through the building pillar.
And like, just forearms it and
just
then just
tears down the building so the three people fall off the building.
So
which
badass.
I guess is more deadly than falling down a mountain.
Yep, because they're immediately unconscious or dead or something.
But so that's the Rock movie. And then car falling on you and you getting up like... That's the Sean William Scott movie.
Because afterwards, they don't even really stumble. They're just more acting like they were out of breath.
Right.
Like rolling down a hill made them winded instead of...
Well, it would.
I mean, you'd be doing a lot of screaming.
I'm saying.
Knock the wind out of you.
Yeah.
But literally, their reaction is like, okay, dude, you gotta quit running. Come on. That fall was pretty rough. I'm gonna owe money for that car. Let's just go back.
Let's figure this out. Let's brainstorm this.
And then his big idea now is the thunder and lightning, because not only did he fall down this cliff, but now his idea is to fight the Rock. After he's seen The Rock beat the shit out of so many people. And this is where this sound clip comes from. The thunder, I believe. Yes. Thunder. Wait for it.
Big boy. You like thunderstorms? Huh?
He's dangling his foot.
But you do, right?
Then his other foot.
No thunder.
Stop it.
The lightning.
Stop it.
Thunder. Lightning. Thunder. Lightning. Ears.
Punch in the face.
So you hear The Rock in the background going, stop it. And I think that he speaks for America when he's saying that. I think that is the conscience of the audience.
That's the voice of the audience going,
stop it. Stop it.
It's funny, but this is dumb.
This is
dumb. You would never do this.
Like, how many people try and defeat The Rock one-on-one in this movie. It's absurd.
Yeah.
But for Sean William Scott to try and do it...
After what he's seen.
After what he's seen and after he's already tried.
Come on.
And after he's just fallen down a mountain and is clearly out of breath.
Yeah, very out of breath.
Clearly.
I mean, he's at a disadvantage for multiple reasons at this point.
Oxygen level, first and foremost.
It's just, it's so funny. It's so ridiculous. And then after that is when they get flung up in the trees.
Yeah.
And that's when it leads to the monkey humping fit in the face scene, which is the low point for me of the movie. Because anytime, I can handle all the goofiness, but when a monkey jumps on The Rock's face and starts humping him, I was like, well,
here
wah,
we go.
Wah, wah.
Yeah.
But it does lead to when they get surrounded by the pygmies, and The Rock says, these are your friends, and there's the monkey humping quote. I do like this. Monkey hard on.
These are your friends, huh? Are you kidding me? I'm starting to long for a monkey with a hard on.
It does lend itself to that line.
Can we also talk about the monkey hard-on was approximately 5 seconds before that.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's already become nostalgic.
He's already thinking about that. He's looking
good
back
times.
On that monkey hard-on.
The monkey hard-on was highlight of this trip for me.
Comparatively to everything else that he goes through, the monkey hard-on
you
is.
You can deal with a monkey hard-on.
Yeah.
I mean, the monkey was dealing with the monkey hard-on.
Yeah.
I'm starting to long for a monkey with a hard-on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's actually...
Couldn't he couldn't downgrade. I'm starting to long for a monkey.
Yeah. Monkey. Well, yeah. Well, couldn't it just have been a monkey? He just wants to, maybe get to know the monkey better next time before the monkey hard on.
Yeah. It's getting intimate right away.
Yeah, it's just.
Is this like a Tinder date?
Yeah.
Tinder monkey?
Yeah. You know, it's so weird because, back when I used to go to bars and try and hit on women and stuff like that, you know, I met this girl on the dance floor, and we were doing this dance, and at one point, I was doing kind of a goofy dance, and she was like, you look like a monkey, and I was like, shut up, I'm not a good dancer, I'm just a white guy, I'm just trying to do this, and she grabbed me by the balls, and she looked at me, and she said,
I'm starting to long for a monkey with a heart on.
And I was like, that's a oddly erotic and terrifying thing to say.
Right, it's like super hard to get a heart on when you're being dragged by the balls somewhere. Those are sensitive.
And you know, it was just kind of a weird thing to say.
Sure.
You know? But she was really into anthropology and the history of the Australopithecus and stuff like that.
Classic.
So she really, if she could, she'd get down with a caveman is what she wants.
That's what she was trying to tell
you. The missing link.
That's what she was trying to tell
you. That was actually a cut scene from Encino Man at the party. One of the party scenes, there was a girl hooking up with Encino Man, and he's very caveman-like, and her big pickup line to him was,
I'm starting to long for a monkey with a heart on.
But they just thought that, maybe that's too on the nose.
Yeah.
They wanted to be more subtle with Encino Man than that.
Yeah. I used to go to, when I was a little kid and the ice cream truck would come around, and I'd go up and I'd get one of those chocolate ice cream bars shaped as a monkey.
Yeah.
And so I got one for me and I got one for my weird friend Elliot.
Has a weird friend named
Elliot. Everyone has a weird friend Elliot. So I handed it to him and he unwrapped it and he looked right at it and he was like, come on, Jesse.
I'm starting to long for a monkey with a heart on.
And I was like, that's weird. That's a weird reaction.
You wonder, because he spent a lot of time at the zoo just staring at monkeys. It was just very strange.
I couldn't even speak to that. I don't know.
You don't want to, you don't want to assume.
I didn't ask a follow-up.
You didn't ask for a follow-up.
No, I was just like, well.
Nope.
This is where we part ways.
The monkey with a heart on line leads to the greatest fight scene in the movie, which we have to talk about because we have about 5 minutes left and I want to get to that.
Okay.
And then I want to get to some more sound clips. But the greatest fight scene, we already talked about the end where he comes in with a bunch of bulls and then he basically shoots everybody because he says bad things happen when I use guns and he blasts everybody. We talk about how he forearms the building down and it's epic. But I would argue the best fight scene in the movie is when he fights what they call in the movie the pygmies or Oompa Loompas.
Sure.
I don't know if that's politically correct, so don't say
it's
me.
It is
not correct.
That's what they call it.
But, so he fights these just shredded little dudes.
Mm-hmm.
And the physics of it are completely bananas.
Yeah.
What did you think of that, seeing it for the first time? Because it was one of my favorites when I saw it 13 years ago.
It was legitimately like a Cirque du Soleil event.
Yeah, it's Cirque du Soleil with The Rock.
So it was...
If that doesn't sell you on this movie, I don't know what
There's no reason for you to be alive. If that doesn't sell you on this movie. I'm not suggesting anything. I'm just saying...
No. We're just saying you're missing a key point of your life.
Of your life.
Yes.
Yeah, Ben with the small world thing.
Yes.
So it was literally like The Rock was the centerpiece, and they were taking turns in
just
a circle.
Whooping his ass.
Whooping his ass.
And it doesn't even look like they speed up their fists. Their fists are just like...
That's how fat, when you're a smaller person, that's how fast you move.
Like a hummingbird heart. They're kicking him. They're flinging him all over the place. They swing down on these ropes on their
vines. They're like wrapping him up.
They grab him and fling him about 100 feet into a tree, which they did legitimately on set. The branches were breakaway. I watched the behind the scenes, but still,
nice.
The Rock is legit flying into a tree 100 feet.
Yeah.
And then falling like a Looney Tunes character, like Wile E. Coyote and the Roadrunner.
Again, fine.
Dust himself off.
Yeah.
Oh, man, it's so good. There's so much that happens in that sequence. And just, like, these flip kicks to the face, and he can barely get a hold of any of them.
And the, like, launching yourself parallel to the ground, like, 1 foot off the ground for about 10 feet.
Yep.
Just like you're on a slip and slide.
Oh, yeah.
It's unbelievable.
He does a few of those where he launches up and, like, double kicks people.
Yeah.
That happens in the first fight scene. He launches up, double kicks him back across the bar.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, if you're going to make a movie like this, I think they did it the perfect way where they just go batshit. You have a, because at this point he was known as being a wrestler.
Yeah.
So you make it, you play to his strengths, which they did, and you make it silly as hell. And just, but never to the point where, it never reached the point of even some of the silliest moments of the Fast and Furious franchise, which I love those movies, by the way.
Sure.
But, like, it never reached the point of, like, Superman or, like, flying a car out a building into another building.
It was always person on person, for the most part. Right? It was always, like, one human being, which is the beauty of it, really.
Yeah.
Is like,
because you can see that even though the stunts are ridiculous, they're still doing the stunts,
right,
even if it's wire work.
Right, and it's
not
like...
not CG.
That's how we root for someone like this in this movie, is, like, this person just possesses superhuman ability to whoop ass.
And you believe looking at The Rock.
Totally. Yeah. Totally. And, like,
so
I also believed it, like, of all the opponents he faced, the most formidable was this community of Oompa Loompas.
Which, that's,
like,
the thing that pisses me off the most, though, is they kill them in the very next scene.
Right.
It's like, why not leave them for the end scene and have them come in with the bulls and then, but I get that they want it to be the Rock's showdown and he's such a badass he can take on this whole town by himself.
Yeah, but it would have been cool if he like thought they had gone off and like abandoned him and then they came back in a show of support.
Like a Gandalf the White or something,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah,
come on.
Like, yeah.
A Deus Ex Machina moment where instead of the villagers showing up, it's the little guys, and then the little guys just beat the shit out of Walken. How cool would that have been if they did a round robin on Walken?
Or if they, like, popped out of, like, some hidden compartment in the ground.
They're wearing, like, this crazy camouflage
or something.
Yeah. Oh,
that would have been.
Do a sequel to this and do that. We're going to run through some sound clips real quick because we only have a couple minutes left, and I know Zach has to get out of here. What else we got? We got Tooth Fairy. We got 10 Minutes Younger. Oh, this is a hit online for sure. 10 Minutes Younger. Try that one.
Man, if I was only 10 minutes younger, huh?
10 minutes younger. Christopher Walken, he's talking about Rosario Dawson. There is a slightly difference in age gap, a bigger difference in age than 10 minutes.
Right.
He'd still be 70 and she'd be 27.
But he would have felt way more confident had he been 10 minutes younger.
10 minutes younger.
Yeah, and she looked at him and she was like, monkey hard on.
Monkey hard on.
Oh. Start to long for a monkey with a hard on.
Yeah. That would have been so good if we hit it right there.
Oh.
What else we
We're
got?
Working out the
what
rhythm.
Else we got? We got Dickhead. Oh, feeling healthy. This is such a great action hero moment for The Rock.
I don't want any trouble.
Then leave now and don't come back.
And the 10,000?
Consider it tax deductible. A contribution to your personal health fund.
With all due respect, Mr. Hatcher, I'm feeling pretty healthy.
That's so badass.
Just the way he says
I'm
it.
Feeling pretty healthy.
Feeling pretty healthy.
You know what? I went to my doctor and I got a checkup the other day, and they were like, "Hey, you know, you're in decent shape, but you have a little bit of a pooge, and you know, you could really just stand to eat a little bit less sugar and just maybe be a little bit more healthy." And I just stood up and I put on my sunglasses and I looked at that doctor because it was just I'd never seen him before. It was just some SAG health clinic, and I said,
"With all due respect, Mr. Hatcher, I'm feeling pretty healthy."
That reminds me.
And then I went and had a Big Mac, and I didn't feel pretty healthy.
You felt less healthy.
I've started to listen to him after
that.
But I just had to say it, you know, just to be defiant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mr. Hatcher.
That was his name, Dr. Hatcher.
Yeah, Dr. Hatcher.
It's weird.
Yeah, but you call him Mr. Hatcher just as a pejorative.
Just to be like,
you're
not even a doctor right now.
Yeah.
Because that's how healthy I am.
I'm talking to you as just a regular human. It reminds me of like I read about this on one of the blogs. You know about blogs.
I know about blogs.
The Healthy Choice frozen food.
Mm-hmm.
There was like this big investigation as to like what ingredients they were using.
Huge.
And like the government body that looks over that, which we all know, I'm not even going to bother with the name of it because we all
FDA?
Know what it is. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I wasn't going to say it.
Thanks, you didn't want to say it.
The
FDA,
the head of the FDA, George Hatcher, came down. to the Healthy Choice headquarters, and he was like, you're putting a lot of pesticides in your mm-hmm. food, you're using a lot of GMOs, and they just looked at him and they were like,
with all due respect, Mr. Hatcher, I'm feeling pretty healthy.
That's actually the new slogan for Healthy Choice now. It's Healthy Choice. I'm feeling
with all due respect, Mr. Hatcher.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They called him out. They called him out on the box.
In their slogan. All the commercials. The commercials are actually just the rundown. They're an hour 45 minute commercials.
Super crazy.
But they highlight that little part.
Yeah. Then the monkey thing. This is the monkey hard on does lead to one of my favorite jokes in the movie, where they're drugged by Rosario Dawson's character and they wake up and they're like, oh no, get out of here, monkey. And they're yelling at the monkey. And it's just hilarious to see The Rock being so ridiculous. And I just want to play that clip because it's so funny for me.
What?
Monkey.
Monkey, bro. Get away from me.
Get out of here, monkey.
Get out of here, okay?
Can we hear the get out of here, monkey, just one more time?
Get out of here, monkey.
Dan, just one more time.
Get out of here, monkey.
It just warms my heart.
Just drop it one more time.
Just one more time.
Get out of here, monkey.
Yeah.
Yeah, monkey.
I think that's going to be a new riff on the new Lil Wayne track. It's just going to be like, instead of like the, you know, the like weird foghorn thing they do, it's just going to be like,
monkey.
In the club.
Monkey.
In the house.
Monkey.
In the bar.
Monkey.
In the restaurant.
A lot of places with
that. That song is called Monkeys Everywhere.
Monkeys Everywhere.
Monkeys Everywhere.
It's actually the theme song for the new Planet of the Apes movie. In fact, it's just going to be called Attack of the Planet of the Apes. And the subtitle of it is
Get out of here, monkey.
Attack of the Planet of the Apes. Get out of here, monkey.
Yeah.
It's going to be better when Gary Oldman does it. But, ladies and gentlemen.
Get out of here, monkey.
I love this music, whatever we're doing
Get out
here.
Of here, monkey.
There we go.
Yeah.
In the club.
Get out of here, monkey.
In the restaurant.
Monkeys everywhere.
Monkeys everywhere.
Monkey Gary Oldman
everywhere.
Died in the last movie, so he can't say this line. Anyways,
he can come back as a dream sequence.
Yeah. I think we got something here.
Summer Jam.
Hashtag get out of here, monkey.
Get out of here, monkey.
Well, that's all the time we have for today. I want to thank my buddy Jesse McIntosh for coming on the show. Where can they find you? Where can the good people out there find you and follow you and tweet at you?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Too Much Jesse. You can find me on AOL Instant Messenger at MackinUp247.
Perfect.
You can find me on
Facebook.
You're
on there quite a bit.
All the time.
That's actually how I had to contact him for the show. I had to hit him up on AIM.
Yep. You can call me on my phone if you have my number. So there you go.
Thank God you didn't give it out.
I was about to give out yours.
And as always, you can find me at the Ben Begley on Twitter, and my movie that my wife and I wrote is coming out very soon.
Which
we are going to have a release date very soon.
If you haven't
seen it, see
it.
The Funhouse Massacre. Thank you. Mm-hmm. It's funhousemassacremovie.com. I'll have more info very soon, I promise, as soon as they let me know. Until next time, we'll be here. And next week, I don't know what we're going to do yet, but we're doing a new time, just so everybody knows. Wednesdays at 6. We're switching to Wednesdays at 6 p.m. So if you come here at 1 for a live show and you wait around for 32 hours or whatever the math is on that, you're going to be sorely disappointed. We will be here Wednesday at 6 live next week.
During dinner. It's a dinner show.
And we're going to have a new guest host for a little while, and we're going to go from there. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Thanks for sticking around. Until next time, what is your guilty movie pleasure?
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Spitek, Christian Harloff, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of its owners or principals.